This is a production of Cornell University.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Shortcut Early Bird Podcast. I'm here, as always, joined with Dr. Frank Rossi. Frank, we're starting to kind of feel the temperatures maybe cooling off a little bit. What can you tell us about how we're in relation to normal?
Well, normal, first of all, this is our 20th week.
20th week, that's correct, yep.
How about that? 20 straight episodes of the Early Bird Podcast, and I would tell you that at number 20, if I was John Sterling hosting for the Yankees, I'd be saying sponsored by Home Depot or something. The 20th show, sponsored by the third pitch, sponsored by Geico. It's cooler. It's been a very low-stress year. There has been some heat stress coming up I-95 corridor recently. The rains have been timely, right? The pest problems, what we hear from the diagnostic labs are that, you know, those abiotic stress, the heat stress issues, the annual bluegrass just sort of crapping out, the summer patch really building, and even the Kentucky bluegrass. We've got a little bit of risk out there with gray leaf spot on the rye, but certainly haven't heard that it's epidemic levels yet. Chinch bugs continue to be the story on the insect end. We're starting to see the young grubs out there. And of course, at this time of the year, lawns are wearing out. So you got a lot of residential lawn people mowing weeds or creating their own problems, right? Mm-hmm. But in general, you know, when we think about temperature and moisture, and it looks pretty good for the next week. Art says another cool week, cool nights coming up. Soils are in the upper 60s, low 70s for August, which is, you know, completely unheard of. We still have some areas, and Long Island is one of those areas that Nick and Marie continue to talk about drier conditions. But you got an upfront look at that, Carl, in your recent participation in the New York State Amateur held at the Black Course at the Great Bethpage State Park, managed by guys that you and I know exceptionally well. Was it dry down there? How were the playing conditions on the Black Course this week?
They were just perfect, and everybody I played with, all of the tournament organizers, were just over the moon with how, you know, obviously perfect that course is manicured, and the greens were rolling very true, perfect playing speed. So when you do get to the green, you can make a lot of putts, but getting to the green there is very difficult. And you know, they moved the tees up for us as in the state amateur, but you know, I was telling you earlier, the rough, the density of the rough, and the club, the grass getting in between the ball and the club face takes a lot of spin off when you're in the rough, and you just can't hold those firmer greens, even if you're coming in with a 9-iron or an 8-iron. So, you know, they set it up, they moved the tees up for us, thankfully, but, you know, that course still plays very difficult if you can't hit those really tiny fairways. You're in the rough or those fairway bunkers.
And it's a good, for general turf stuff, it's a good note that it's not really the height of that rough, because I think, as you said, it's only 2.5-3 inches, but the density. They've been very successful over the years in managing the nutrition out there, and of course all the other problems that can come when it gets hot and humid, a lot of the fungal disease problems. With not a lot of fungicide use out there, too. That is one of our flagship institutions for our State Park Golf IPM project that we've been working on for a really long time. And, you know, overall, still a fairly low EIQ on that property that's producing those conditions. So the density for lawn people is very important. A good note for sports turf people as well. But you were talking about firmness of the greens, right? Which becomes a little bit about managing moisture. I was saying it was dry. I think you said maybe they got a little bit of rain at the beginning of the event.
Yeah, on Monday they had probably 3 to 4 tenths of rain consistently across the entire day. That was the practice round. And so the first 2 days, the greens, if you're coming in from the fairways, you'd make some pretty big pitch marks. But from the roughs, again, with no spin, it was hard to control that. This kind of transitioned us into the moisture management discussion that was on Twitter, you know, the syringing topic. We like to think of it as moisture management. And there's basically two schools of thought, right, Frank? There's a couple of people who like to maybe overfill the system a little bit in the morning so that they can get through the entire day without having to hand water. And then there's other people who like to keep it right on the edge the entire day, try and keep those very firm, fast playing conditions and hand water in the afternoon. So what can we kind of speak to there?
Yeah, so there's a couple of things, right? So let's be clear about what I think many in the industry mean when they say syringe. And sometimes it's simply the way you hold the hose. And for those of you watching on News Channel 8, you'll watch me hold my hand a certain way that you can't see on the podcast. Basically, the way you point the nozzle is what you're doing. If you're pointing the nozzle down at the turf with some sort of stream of water, you're hand watering. You're supplementing your irrigation deliberately to fill that particular spot. You know, your wetting agents aren't working right. You're getting a localized dry spot. Maybe you got fairy ring, and you're touching up in the morning. And you can overwater, you know, that same idea that you espouse, filling it up a little bit more versus, you know, letting it dry down to the point where you got to touch it during the day just to sort of keep it from going over the cliff. Now, some of that issue, there's so many things to talk about. You know, the lack of effect that cooling has for any persistent period of time, which, you know, the synthetic turf people will tell you that too. They're blowing water all over those synthetic surfaces, and it doesn't cool off very much. And grass, these shortcut grass systems with not a lot of leaf material to hydrate the air there, they don't cool off very much when you cool them. And Bill Kreiser's got that great video of the spectral view of the cooling and then the rewarming in 15 to 20 minutes. So let's get that out of the way. And let's talk about the labor issues and what we do to the labor staff. I think this becomes not just a challenging part of our industry, right? Everybody wants to produce the highest quality conditions they can produce with what they've got. And if you have the luxury of a couple of extra workforce people, usually you need your first assistants or your core superintendents, depending on how big your facility is, to get out there and drag a hose with a moisture meter and be able to have an eye for those greens. And of course, you know, the best places are doing approaches in fairways. I've seen guys dragging a hose in fairways, which is strictly a labor issue. So if your club has the ability to have those labor issues out there to hand water and touch up those things, let's forget about the cooling. All right, let's just put that aside. Let's talk about hand watering and supplementing the soil to build that plant's hydraulic capacity to keep up with the vapor pressure deficit. We would talk geeky here about water, how water moves through the system. So once you get that, it becomes a labor issue, right? And so a lot of guys, and Jason Haynes is at one end. I think he's one guy, and he's got a couple of, you know, other little people that help him out there up in his neck of the woods. You know, just love the philosophy he espouses. But then you got, as we know, the Long Island market and the other markets, the Cleveland market, the Pittsburgh market, the Chicago market, the LM, you name it, where the players are, where the people are comparing themselves to the best around. And, you know, when you got money, each other, which becomes a bigger deal, just like guys taking care of their lawns. Guys like their golf courses to be better than the neighbor's golf course, right? So some of it becomes a little bit about that. And I don't, no criticism here. Let's just call it what it is. Do what you do and do the best you can with what you got. And this is a manifestation of it in water. Huh. Maybe you don't have enough guys to weed whack around the trees. You got to put mulch. Mulch is not, you know, not time consuming. You got to do it. But I mean, everybody makes adjustments, whether it's how much time you spend in mowing the rough, you know, what you're able to do with your surrounds, how you're able to keep your playing surfaces. All of these things become labor issues. Now, the deeper dive is, what are we doing to young people when we're, you know, everybody's working 110 hours, when the reality is, in a year like this, you should not be working 110 hours a week. There's plenty of years you need to work 110 hours a week. This ain't one of them, Carl. So as we wrap up and you go off to play in the Tompkins County golf tournament that by all measures you're a 3-5 favorite to lap the field in this great event, I'd say overall we're consistently with the same message this year. Low stress, don't create any problems. You know, this is a year to take a deep breath and talk about long range planning and things you can fix in your infrastructure, because if you did have problems because of drainage, you should be making those plans right now to get those areas drained.
Yeah, and it is a bit ironic that the hand watering topic came up in a year like this, but I think you said it very well, Frank. There really is no wrong answer here, and while the conversation on social media may have gotten a little contentious at times, I think one of the positive aspects of the conversation is that people learn to justify why they do or do not choose to hand water as a practice. And ideally, they could develop a data-driven argument for their stance as well. So with that, we'd like to thank everyone for listening to this week's episode of the Shortcut Early Bird Podcast. As always, follow us on Twitter or Facebook for growing season updates. We'll see you next week.
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.